AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboards. The search for a new Rangers manager picks up pace. Talks with Steven Gerrard are due for this week as a return to Ibrox is looking more and more likely. Not necessarily the only name in the frame, but certainly appears to be the most popular amongst the Rangers fans. And on the international front, tomorrow is the big day. Greece at Hampden, where Scotland can either take a big step towards a first World Cup for the men's team since France 98, or indeed a damaging blow if Greece do what they did the last time in the south side of Glasgow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly, and in unfamiliar Wednesday night territory again, it is Roger Hanna.
Well, Gordon, I'd like to speak to you about Thursday night territory, a historic night at Hampden. Steve Clarke matching Craig Brown's all-time record as Scotland manager. I'd like to speak to you about Simon Celtic beating your Motherwell in the last minute on Saturday. I'd like to speak to you about Hearts top of the league and Tony Bloom in today's newspapers, but I think the next 2 hours we'll be talking about one man, a man by the name of Steven Gerrard.
You could just take the night off.
Yeah,
you're a former Scotland international, so you're primed and ready for tomorrow night. You obviously are all across things Celtic, and we saw each other at the game at the weekend.
We did. But I seen you celebrating at 2-1 up in the gantry.
Wasn't the same story at 3-2. But yes, I think there's mostly one story in town.
Yeah, I think it's the obvious one. We sit here again speculating on who's going to take over at Rangers, and it's looking, you know, as if it could be a man that's been there before, Stevie G. I believe back in the country for talks, and I think if he's back, I think there's only one reason he's back, so I think he's the firm favourite at the moment.
Come on then, 0141951025. We've obviously been delving into this in the last couple of nights, but these things always develop slightly and move on and edge in a certain direction. Today is the story that Steven Gerrard is set for Rangers talks this week, so maybe on kind of Monday it feels a bit pie in the sky and everyone's got their hypothetical wish list. It seems to be heading in that direction. However, you almost feel sorry, Roger, for the other candidates, whoever they may be, because Rangers are, I'm sure, trying to do this thoroughly because they cannot afford to get it wrong.
Yeah.
It would be crazy of them to only look at Steven Gerrard, so they won't be, but it's the only name anyone's talking about. And because of the emotional pull and because of what he's done before and all the rest of it, it feels like for most fans, he's like the only guy getting a mention.
Yeah, and they will be looking at other candidates. I suspect they'll be looking at candidates maybe down south and in the continent rather than in Scotland. I'm sure, you know, despite all the protestations that were backing Russell Martin, Patrick Stewart, Kevin Thelwell, Andrew Kavanagh wouldn't have been doing their jobs if they weren't looking at a succession plan.
How sure are you of that? I'm interested in that because,
well, if they haven't been looking at a succession plan, they should be following, sure, Russell Martin out the door.
It just felt like they were very committed to Russell Martin,
yeah,
until, I don't know whether it was until hotel reception gate or something like that, and then the scenes at the weekend maybe sparked something.
I think it would probably be before hotel reception gate, which was before you can't reverse the bus gate, which was before police escort out of Falkirk gate. I suspect they've been looking at it for at least a couple of weeks. They will have been putting a shortlist together. Of course, Steven Gerrard's name will be on that shortlist. I'm quite sure they're looking at others. They're probably talking to others. But just, you know, the whole tone of the race has changed in the last 24 hours since Steven Gerrard spoke. Since then, his pal, Rio Ferdinand, has spoken again on his behalf. And people like Gary McAllister, Jermaine Defoe, people who know Steven Gerrard, are all making public pronouncements. It's not an open and shut case. The negotiations might not work out. He might decide that actually having met the Rangers hierarchy, doesn't want to come back. Or they might think, no, I'm not sure you're for me. But I think he's an overwhelming favourite for the job now.
But what do you think out there? Come on, 01419511025. Is it heading towards Steven Gerrard? Can you see it heading any other way? What are the other names that you think should be in the frame? It feels like the Steven Gerrard positivity has just been picking up pace, but nevertheless, maybe there are still fans out there who are not quite as convinced and maybe did see things they didn't like last time, or maybe are not impressed with the way his managerial career has gone since leaving Ibrox. So get all your calls in there, please. 01419511025. It is clearly going to dominate things on this show in this city when we've got one of our big two looking for a new manager. But this is, as UEFA call it, match day minus one. Tomorrow is a massive World Cup qualifier for Scotland. An Ibrox vacancy doesn't change that. It is a huge evening for Steve Clarke. He becomes the joint with Craig Brown longest serving ever Scotland manager, presumably then overtakes him on Sunday. He says the players understand what they have to do to reach the World Cup. They've drafted in Max Johnson into the squad today. I don't know if that's got anyone worried about other fullbacks maybe struggling a bit. I think it's possibly also linked to the number of suspensions that could kick in ahead of the Belarus game, depending what happens tomorrow. So all the usual pre-match thoughts on that, if you can. How are you feeling? Are you confident? Are you feeling the worst given what Greece did previously at Hampden? What should the team look like? Because Steve Clarke surprised everybody last month. He left Ben Gannon-Doak out, Billy Gilmore out, played Dykes and Adams away to Denmark. Everybody was raging about it. And then they got a very good 0-0 draw and a good performance, which has provided the platform for tomorrow night. So you can still debate it, I'm sure. We'll all have our thoughts. We won't be scarred by maybe going in too early and getting it wrong last time. But all your thoughts, please, ahead of that big night for Scotland. Obviously, the Rangers vacancy. Celtic fans, you've generally got something to share with us as well. And anything else, 01419511025.
Yeah, listen, looking forward to the game at Hampden tomorrow. It is a huge game. It's funny how these things sneak up on you. You know, big Premiership games all weekend. Yep. The Rangers story moved on Sunday night with the dismissal of Russell Martin. And suddenly, there's this huge game, and for once we're actually well placed because of those two results last month. You know, you mentioned a 0-0 in Denmark, a 2-0 in Hungary against Belarus. If we can get through these two home games with two wins, we can start actually looking at perhaps going to a World Cup finals for the first time since this man was in France topping up his suntan.
I love Roger's positivity. Unfortunately, the other side of it, Simon, is that because the group's so short, because it's so finely balanced,
it really is.
Don't want to over-exaggerate tomorrow. It's not must win, but as Roger says, a win and you're in an incredible position. A defeat and then you're, you know, it feels like it could be quite volatile tomorrow.
I heard Andy Robertson read Andy Robertson's comments today regarding this campaign, and it is a bit of a sprint. There's six games. It's normally qualifying campaigns are over months, and you know you can get off to a bad start and turn. There's been no case of that. And as Roger says, we've got off to a brilliant start, getting the point and then winning in Belarus sets us up brilliantly. But I think these are must-win games. I think we've got to take 6 points from these two, which would put us in a really strong position.
Okay, let's kick off with Stuart on the line and get his thoughts on all things Ibrox related. I'm sure, Stuart.
Yes, it's about Gerrard. I think it'll be done and dusted on Friday or Monday. But my main point is, if it is him and he comes back, whatever he's saying, whatever the discussions are going on, do you think the first thing he's going to ask is he's going to get backed? Because the last board never backed him. I think that's why he left. I think if the board back him, I mean, they've still got money to spend. If this big 49, they've got the money that they can throw about in January. Are they going to give him a lot of money in January? Because they've still got money left. I mean, they sell that Egerman for 10. You've got the couple others they sell as well, and they bought the other boy for 10. So they still have 8 or 9 million left. I think if they back this manager the second time round, you could be looking at a good Rangers side.
So you hope it is him, first and foremost, Stuart, because we need to get a guy in first before we worry about who's backed. Do you hope it is him?
Well, he must be. If they're going to be talking to him tomorrow, they're saying he's going to be talking to tomorrow onwards. Yes, the thing he's going to ask, are you going to back me? Am I going to get rid of some players that I don't like, or do you want me to just start from scratch? He'll probably keep some players and maybe back the ones that he knows. That's what I think, and I think they will back him. If I mean, they've got to back him anyway, because if they don't, Rangers will just go back down where they were again and go back to square one.
It will be interesting to see what the talks look like, Roger, because Steven Gerrard isn't an unemployed football manager. Well, he is, in that regard, gettable. However, see, the longer this goes on and the groundswell of opinion out there that seems to favour Steven Gerrard, I'm starting to think Steven Gerrard holds quite a lot of power here.
Well, yeah, of course it does. I mean, I'll give you the, how the negotiations will go. Question one will be, how much am I getting for me? And question two will be, how much am I getting to spend? Because this is a huge appointment. Stuart Legree, this is a huge appointment for Rangers, and they need to get it right. This is a huge appointment for Steven Gerrard, because it didn't work out for him at Aston Villa. It didn't work out for him when he went to Saudi. And if you get three hits and you're out, it would be very difficult to see where Steven Gerrard would go if he failed at Rangers. So it needs to work for Steven Gerrard as much as it needs to work for Rangers. And he will be asking the questions that Stuart's asking. You know, how much money is still in the pot? The players, that the squad that's there just now, I'll be fascinated to see if he can get more of a tune out of it than Russell Martin did between now and the window opening again in January. But he will. He'll ask how much money's there.
Seeing a very basic level, Simon, we wouldn't pretend to know, but Rangers had a 20 million net spend in the summer, so it shows that the new ownership group are quite serious financially about these things. They're also under pressure now to fix this. I think you could tell from Andrew Kavanagh, Paragmarati's statement, they acknowledge they got it wrong.
Yeah.
They're under a bit of pressure to fix. They're serious people who won't. Everybody's got ego, you know. They don't want to be the ones that got it wrong. So
I think
whether it's Steven Gerrard or not, I think there'll clearly be a level of backing there to try and put this situation right.
There has to be, just on a basic level, Gordon, that the guys that talk about recruitment, I don't think the recruitment has been good enough. Russell Martin's players that he's brought in, you know, there's guys that are better qualified than me from the Rangers side, describing them as little boys at time, you know, and mentality was questioned by Russell Martin as well just at the weekend. So yeah, you can get a bounce, you know, when a new manager comes in. And I think, you know, somebody of Stevie Gerrard's profile, if you can't lift your game, you know, for somebody like that, then you've got problems. But I don't think he'll be able to take them to a level where he'll be satisfied. So he needs backing. And that first transfer window, it's not an ideal one at January, but it'll be an important one, because at the moment, I don't see the players that they've brought in. I know it's early stages, but I don't see any progress. They're weaker for me than last year.
Billy's on the other line. Thank you, Stuart. What's your take on things at the moment, Billy, as they sit today?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? Thank you very much for taking the call.
Pleasure.
Hi, panel. I don't want Steven Gerrard back at Ibrox.
Right, okay. Why not?
Because he was there. Obviously, he won the title at 55. But what else did he do in that 3 years? He done nothing. And then he walked away. He went to Aston Villa. He done his bit. Failed. He went abroad. Failed. So why should we take him back?
It's an interesting point you make, Billy, because there's two sides to the Steven Gerrard argument. There are Rangers fans who will say he won title number 55, he ended Celtic's quest for 10 in a row, he improved the side dramatically from the one he inherited. If you remember, when he came the previous game, it had been that 5-5 with Hibs at Easter Road, Jimmy Nicol in charge. So, you know, he transformed that in a modicum of progress in European football, and Rangers fans enjoyed the ride. The other ones, like yourself, Billy, will say he won one trophy out of nine, he could only win the league in the COVID season, and he lost at home to Hamilton Accies. So you can see both sides of the argument. I would say you're probably in the minority among Rangers fans. I watched Gordon and Sky this afternoon interviewing Chris Jack, who is the writer of the book about going for 55, and so many Rangers fans put so much store in that title winning season and remember it so fondly. A lot want him back, but I think there will be other voices like yours, Billy, who are a bit more coy about the whole thing.
Who then, Billy? Because you obviously, with every managerial appointment, you always start by, or I hope you start by, acknowledging that nobody's perfect, nobody ticks all the boxes, but who ticks the most and who's the least risky, whatever that means? If Steven Gerrard doesn't do that for you, who does?
Sean Dyche.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like he's interested, though. Is that a worry for you? Disappointed in that?
The other one I would go for is Rafael Benitez. as possible.
Again, and the last two words might be key there, Roger, at Rafa's aging stage. Listen, can you see him rocking up?
A bit like Steven Gerrard, he's an out-of-work manager who's looking to get into work, so...
Is he? Is he looking to get into that work, do you think?
Listen, I don't know Rafa Benitez's thoughts. I would have thought, he might well be a contender if Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathe are going out to look at potentials. Should they go and speak to him? They probably should. They probably should, but, Sean Dyche, interesting. It doesn't look as if he's interested in coming to Scotland, is the one thing. But I still think the Rangers' job still holds appeal, despite everything that's happened with Russell Martin, everything that's happened in recent years. It must still be an attractive job, and it'll be a job. Listen, apart from anything else, it'll be a job that pays well, I would think.
Yeah, and listen, the challenge as well, if you get it right.
Yeah,
you get it right. I mean, Celtic have been dominant and. Recent times, it's a massive job, and the guys that have come in recently have fell short. But it's a challenge, but as you say, it's an attractive job.
I was going to ask you, Simon, as a Celtic fan, what will Celtic fans think if Steven Gerrard comes back? Because, if you're a Rangers fan,
yeah,
when Postecoglou leaves, and you think, oh, here's Brendan Rodgers coming back again, oh no. Will Rangers, Celtic fans think the same about Steven Gerrard?
I think Celtic fans will look at what Billy's brought to the table there and won a trophy out of nine.
Yeah.
Albeit Rangers fans will argue it's an important one because Celtic were going for the record. But I think that's what Celtic fans will think about it, to be honest.
There's always a bit of bravado kicks in either way, isn't there? The point about, Billy looking at someone like Sean Dyche. I'm now interested in this as a social experiment, and maybe social media is just a bit of an echo chamber, right? Because I feel like my social media is awash with pro Steven Gerrard. I don't really see dissenting voices anymore. Billy's showing that they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned I was outside Ibrox for Sky today. Maybe spoke to like 20, let's say, right, fans, which is not loads. I'm not pretending it is, but every last one, Steven Gerrard, all day long, cars going past. Keeping the horn, window down, shouting Steven Gerrard. So it feels like it's all heading that way. But then people like Billy pop up and say no and outline the reasons why. So I'd love to know. You'll never canvass them all. I'd love to know what percentage of Rangers fans want him back.
Do you think Steven Gerrard's undoubted popularity among the Rangers fan base will sway Andrew Kavanagh? Because... the last appointment was the least popular in the history of the football club to the extent that there's mobs of fans crowding buses. You can't get players out of stadium. The manager needs a police escort to leave the ground. The fans are turning on Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell like never before. Do you think the fact that Steven Gerrard would be a popular appointment with the fans, will that sway the board in his direction?
I think so. Because I just think that was the most unpopular appointment from day one. Rangers fans almost didn't accept Russell Martin. And to the point that we see the scenes at the weekend at Falkirk, I think there will be a feel-good factor. Stevie Gerrard coming back in, I think, with the majority of the Rangers fans.
Fine. And Billy's blown this theory apart, fine, because Billy doesn't want him and... perfectly entitled to it, and I think we'll probably still get others. I still believe, based on social media, based on people you see, people you speak to, that it's quite a majority.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So to answer your question with a question back about the pressure being on now, really, for the Rangers board to deliver Steven Gerrard, because what type of sell would it need to be if it's not Steven Gerrard? How good would the person need to be for it to not be him and fans still to go, oh, actually, that's good. We're happy with that.
Yeah, listen, I completely agree with you. I don't know whether it would need to be someone of the profile of Rafa Benitez that you mentioned there, a high-profile guy who has had success. I think it will need to be someone who has had success somewhere in the past. I don't think it can be a project. Mm-hmm. You see the likes of, no disrespect to the people I'm about to mention, Danny Roll, Steve Cooper, Gary O'Neill. I don't think the Rangers fans buy that.
And that's the thing, because what would they buy? Because this is what there's an issue here with the fact that he's Steven Gerrard. He's a massive name anyway, and then you bring in the history at Ibrox. But like we mentioned at the top, he won't be the only candidate. He can't be the only candidate.
No,
there's clearly a big process underway. So see if it's not him. the Rangers fans are already sort of suspicious of the decision makers at Ibrox and not really willing to buy what they've got to say.
I don't think you get a repeat of Pedro Kishina coming in and nobody knowing who he is.
I think it needs to be a high profile guy. You couldn't possibly.
And then when the Rangers fans say to Patrick Stewart, "Why did you appoint him?" they can say, "Well, he's won this, he's won the next thing.
He's a popular choice.
Blah, blah, blah." So with Stephen Gerrard, they can say, "He won that title in 2021. If they go for Rafa Benitez, you say, "Well, he won the Champions League and he's won this and he's won that." The other day, there was a debate in Sky Sports late on last night, Gordon, at the view of the papers, and there was a journalist from The Guardian in London said, "If you're going back for a former manager, should you not be going for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who took you to a European final and won the Scottish Cup?"
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Good point.
I think
he's got a cushy wee job at Liverpool now, though.
Will he be better for the job because he's been at for the 3 years experience before? I know the demands at Liverpool are very similar as a player, and he's talking, or he was mentioning it on that podcast that you referred to there, about a team round him, because obviously he couldn't bring back the likes of, I mean, Beale was hailed as the best coach in the last tenure. You can't see that happening, so it'd be interesting to see who he brought back.
Absolutely. Let's pause for breath, thank Billy and Stuart before him on the phones, and invite you to join in. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Roger Hanna are here to take your calls, and Greg in Steps is up next. Go on, Greg.
How you doing, gents? Is all well?
All good. How are you, more importantly?
Yeah, mate, just off to football training, mate. So,
right, what team? Come on, you can't leave that out there.
sorry, you broke up there, sorry.
What team?
Glasgow United, mate, amateurs.
Right, okay, so everybody will be listening on their way to training, so this point better be good.
No, the reason for my call, I was listening to the last caller. He is correct, we're having that doubt over Gerrard, but my main point was, previously heard interviews with ex-players, you hear it was Michael Beale was the kind of the brains behind Gerrard. But right away, the club's in turmoil. So they flip the coin and it said, to get the fans back on board, is Gerrard the right choice for me? But it's who he brings round about him. You've got Defoe, is dying to come. You listen to the interview in Sky Sports. Gary McAllister previously. And you've got to bring in, obviously, goalkeeping coach Alan McGregor, who knows the club. But I just wanted to see, obviously, what your thoughts were on potential, obviously, of Gerrard coming in. Who else could he bring as that assistant coach? Because you know Beale's not going to come back and be the brains, but Gerrard does have the persona and the presence to turn that club on its head, but it's who he brings in with him.
This is not a criticism of Greg, because that's the phrase. I want to move away from the brains of, because it makes it sound like the sort of...
The success
of winning the league or whatever was all down to Michael Beale. But I think if we listen to Andy, who's on the show a lot, think about what Andy tells us that he did. Let's not worry about the brains. But he took the training, he even took the team meetings, Andy said. So brains or not, that is a big role that needs filled by someone, if not Michael Beale. Greg says, can't see it. Would you agree, or would Rangers fans swallow it if it meant getting Steven Gerrard back?
I don't know, it'd be fascinating to find out, wouldn't it? I was laughing the other day when, you know, Michael Beale seems to have been kind of dismissed by Rangers fans. A 72% win record and Russell Marner a 29% win record. You know, it wasn't quite as bad maybe as some would have you believe.
Especially not based on what we know now about how much worse it can get.
So, it'll be really interesting to see if Steven Gerrard comes back, who he brings with him.
I love this, we're picking his backroom staff and he's not even been appointed.
I don't think it will be the same backroom staff as before. Managers sometimes like to get a different voice, a different face in about the place, just shake it up a little bit, different ideas. And I think, you know, the way Steven Gerrard was talking in the podcast with Rio Ferdinand yesterday, he is looking at a different team and a different makeup to the team.
Do you know what is interesting? This, again, Greg's only mentioned a couple, but people are picking backroom staff of six or seven, from what I can see. Because actually, I know he says Alan McGregor. Is there anything to suggest that Steven Gerrard wants Alan McGregor as a goalie coach? I think the existing goalie coach has stayed.
Yeah.
The guy that was under Russell Martin, because he was listed as taking training today. Now, that doesn't mean he stays permanently. Jermaine Defoe has shown a willingness. Gary McAllister, who was part of the previous staff, kind of left the door open. I think maybe in that Michael Beale role, you're looking at who Steven Gerrard worked with before Neil Critchley, wasn't it? It was one of them.
It was
someone.
He was quoted on that podcast saying that that team wasn't quite ready.
Yeah.
And when he got it ready, so it'd be interesting. I think there'll be new names there. And I think there'll be new additions.
A name that was whispered to me, I thought was quite interesting, was Steve Holland.
That would certainly be a high-profile appointment. I mean, Steve Holland was Gareth Southgate's number two all the way through, you know, his time at England, World Cup semi-finals, European Championship finals. I think he went out on his own to Japan, didn't quite work out, came back. That is a high-profile, experienced head coach.
So, Greg, you think the sort of positives from Gerrard's first time majorly outweigh the negatives, and that's why he's the right man for now?
100%. The way obviously the fans acted was inevitable, obviously, with regards to Russell Martin, the way the performances are going. But you know fine well, the fans are obviously in turmoil. The main people you read in social media and all over the news articles is Gerrard, is the main people, the main obviously person that the fans want.
Mm-hmm.
But the doubt is his previous stunt. Obviously, he won one trophy in nine. Yes, correct, but he took on a club that was in a turnover period, and it's a shame he left us at that point, because I always say, if Gerrard stayed with us, we'd have won more trophies. There's no doubt about it, we'd have won more trophies. He left us in, obviously, a good run in the Cup and a good point in the league as well, where I think we're sitting at top when he left. So I have no doubt that Steven Gerrard is the man for the job, but it's just who he has round about him. In my opinion, he just needs that, obviously, that assistant coach, from that aspect of things, to maybe know Scottish football a wee bit more. It could be someone in and among Scottish football that could come in. And I think, obviously, we mentioned Steve Davis as well, who knows Rangers through and through. Would be a great appointment for, obviously, the coaching staff.
Because this is the thing, and I know Greg is not necessarily suggesting them all, but it can't be Defoe and Davis and McAllister and someone else to fill the Michael Beale bit. And all of a sudden, that's quite a lot of people, isn't it?
Sam Allardyce said 28 at one stage, didn't he know, when he was a Bolton Wanderers? So why not get them all back in? Listen, I don't know. I mean, you look at the bench, I mean, I know Russell Martin's away, Matt Gill's away, Mike Williamson's away. There are loads of other guys in that background team.
Well, training's been taken today by Stephen Smith, former Rangers fullback, Brian Gilmore, the goalkeeping coach we mentioned.
I've no idea how Steven Gerrard would look upon, you know, those guys when he comes into the football club, whether they revert back to other roles. I don't know how much scope he's got, how much money, budget-wise, he's going to bring in a backroom staff. But, I mean, he was talking yesterday on the podcast of a team people coming in.
And he stressed that he hadn't quite got that team together.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know if he knew things were in the offing when he was doing that interview.
See the clamour for Steven Gerrard, Greg. Is it as a result of where Rangers find themselves right now? The reason I ask that is because we did this 4 months ago. Rangers were looking for a manager 4 months ago, and there was nowhere near, not even close to this level of clamour for Steven Gerrard then. Steven Gerrard's not a better manager now than he was 4 months ago. So why are so many more people wanting him now? Is it because things are so low that he's felt as this, like, unifying presence or something?
I can only go in my opinion, and my opinion basically was, before Martin came in, I was all for Gerrard, or the other name mentioned was Muscat. Obviously he's done well over in Japan in that league, and he's near enough winning it with 4 games to go. But it's always been Gerrard for me, and I know fans go, he only won one trophy, but come on, we think of the team he took on board then, and if he had the financial backing that Martin had, that transfer window, I think we would have been a lot better place than we are now, and I think a lot of fans would agree with me. So, a personal opinion is Gerrard should have took the job when it was in the summer window, and he had all the money to play with and buy the players he wanted. But unfortunately, these things happen, and we wish Russell Martin all the best. He tried, it didn't work out, but for me, Gerrard's a man, and he should have been the man 123 days ago.
And that's fair. Look, that's Greg's take, and I'm sure there are others, Roger, but so please correct me if I'm wrong, though. I think generally it still feels like there's a much more of a groundswell for Steven Gerrard now than there was 4 months ago. I remember it,
I do remember it. You know, the huge groundswell for Davide Ancelotti 4 months ago, remember that?
It was a real spread the last time, so that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. Why is there much more weight behind Steven Gerrard now than 4 months ago, when his managerial credentials haven't changed in that time?
I think 4 months ago there was always a feeling that the board were kind of pushing towards Russell Martin. 4 months ago, he didn't really get the feeling that Andrew Kavanagh and that new Rangers board were particularly swept away by Steven Gerrard's CV or the previous work he had done at Rangers.
Sure, but I'm asking about the way the fans felt about it.
Yeah, I think the fans back then, some of them were sort of swearing, oh, Ancelotti, you know, oh, he sounds quite interesting, you know, he's Carlo's boy, maybe have a wee bit of him. Now, everything seems to be cleared. The way seems to be cleared now for Steven Gerrard to come back, and the majority, like Greg, are buying into it. The minority, like Billy before him, are not.
Craig is in the Gorbals. Thank you, Greg. Enjoy your training. What do you think, Craig?
Hi, panel. How you doing? All right?
Thank you. Good.
I'll get 2 points. One will obviously be Steven Gerrard. But I just wanted to talk a bit more about Derek McInnes. For me, Derek McInnes has probably been my first choice, probably after Gio, to be honest with you. I think he's obviously learned his trade in Scotland, went down south, didn't really work out for him, but I think he's a proven manager in the Scottish League. I know it's probably the ship sailed with Derek McInnes. I know he turned the job down previously due to, I think it was his family were too young and he didn't want to go into the Goldfish Bowl of Glasgow, but again, I might be wrong in saying that, but I think Derek McInnes kind of deserves a big job like this. He knows the club, he knows the demands, he knows the league, knows how to beat both sides of the Old Firm. I think he talks really well in the media, he talks a lot of common sense. So for me, Derek McInnes has been my first choice for quite a while now. But in saying that, I do think Gerrard is the next best option. And it was just a point your previous caller made in regards to he won one trophy in nine and he left to go to Villa. In regards to him going to Villa, I don't actually blame him. I think the big factor behind that, and probably Rangers fans didn't think about the time, they're emotional and they're a bit annoyed that he's left, but I think he wasn't backed by the board. And as Roger said earlier on, it's going to be a big decision, not just for Rangers, but Gerrard, because long term, Gerrard wants to be the Liverpool manager. And let's face it, I think if he comes back to Ibrox, he wants to make sure it's the right thing, because if he comes back for a second spell and it doesn't work out, his credibility is lost. Where does he go from there? So I think he'll have all that in mind. But as I say, McInnes will be my first choice. But if not, I'd be happy with Gerrard.
Craig, I agree with you. Derek McInnes would be my first choice as well. I think Rangers need someone who can initially restore them to respectability and give them a chance of winning trophies domestically. Derek McInnes won a trophy for Aberdeen, took them regularly to Hampden. I remember covering for Super Scoreboard Derek McInnes's first game as Kilmarnock manager. They're away at Queen of the South in the Championship. He left them playing European football and he's currently got Hearts top of the Premiership table. Derek McInnes's credentials for being the Rangers manager are second to none. I think if they asked him, he would speak to them. I remember vividly, it's about 8 years ago this very week that he was offered the job. Rangers were in turmoil, and at the time Derek McInnes,
how long ago was that? Was
it was the autumn 2017, and it was a very solid foundation he had at Aberdeen. I remember that night speaking to Dave Cormack, the Aberdeen chairman, who was talking about why Derek had made that decision to stay and not go to Rangers. That shouldn't be held against him. I don't think it is being held against him. But I just think Andrew Kavanagh and this 49ers Enterprises won a little bit, you know, it's a bit like the summer when they didn't sign Lauren Shankland for nothing and he spent £8 million on Yusuf Chermiti. Sometimes they try to be a wee bit too fancy, for want of another word. But I agree with you, Derek McInnes should be given the opportunity. He's the best candidate for me.
Thank you very much to Craig. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Right, come on now, slowly running out of time. For £570,000, you can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 7 entries instead, text YES to 61025, and those messages are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. All the details and online entry for this are at makemeawinner.co.uk. It's a real network competition and the lines close at 5pm on Friday. Somebody wins the lot, why not give yourself the chance of it being you? It's an incredible amount of money, £570,000. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here. Why not keep them company? There's a lot going on, so get the calls in if you can, please. Usual number 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So let's hear from you. We've got Ben who's next up on the line. Ben's in Hamilton. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, not too bad in itself.
Oh, good. What made you call tonight?
So I just think there's been a few people obviously phoning up tonight and talking about the prospect of us bringing in a Sean Dyche or a Kevin Muscat. I just have no idea how fans can possibly think that's an idea, a good idea. Especially with the whole Kevin Muscat thing, there seems to be a thing where Rangers fans are so adamant that he's a man that's going to bring us back up to the top. And I think that they're only saying that purely because of the success that Ange had in Asia. And they think just because he's a Rangers man and he was there before that he'd be able to come and do that there. But I just don't think that's going to be the case. And I think it's a kind of Rangers, it's more of a, we need to get Gerrard in because we need someone who's got a bit of aura and somebody that's going to come in and kind of put players in their place. Because obviously, as we've seen, I don't think Sean Dyche, I don't think he'd be the man to do that. And I think Gerrard would be able to come in and tell players that this is what they need to do and kind of put them in their place and set standards. And
it's an interesting take that, Ben, because I've heard loads of things about Sean Dyche where people say he's used to maybe firefighting, he's used to clubs at the bottom end of tables, he's not necessarily going to try and win things. I've never heard it suggested that he wouldn't be able to put players in their place, Roger. I think he would be fine with that, would he not?
Yeah, I think he would be fine with that. Another point you mean, Ben, about Kevin Muscat, I tend to think where Rangers are just now, they need to get somebody in who knows what it takes to win at Falkirk and knows what it takes to win at Livingston before the 94th minute.
Oh, you've forgotten Kevin Muscat's spell as a Rangers player, haven't you?
It's easy done. That's what Rangers need. That's what, you know, I don't mind Stephen Gerrard. I'd said to the previous caller, Ben, I thought Derek McInnes would be my personal favourite. But both McInnes and Gerrard do know what it takes. You know, it's difficult up here, and an awful lot of people underestimate Scottish football. Simon Donnelly played in it for a good number of years and knows that you can't take anything for granted going to Dens Park on a Sunday afternoon.
That's where I asked the question earlier on, do you think he's better fitted now to go back in? After his 3-year stint here before, I think he's a guy that can handle the pressure.
Yeah.
I think there's no doubt of that. You look at his footballing career at Liverpool and the demands that he put on himself, and I think the demands he put, I think he'd be better for the experience beforehand.
Depends what order you view these things in, isn't it? Because all these accusations is that Russell Martin maybe, you know, didn't get it or didn't help himself with the things he said and whatever, but none of that actually comes into focus if Russell Martin goes and wins his first 3 games.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden everything's rosy. And is it about that kind of chicken and egg thing, Roger?
It's a crazy side of it though, Gordon, because we're just talking off air there about the likes of Van Bronckhorst taking Rangers to a final and then finding himself out a job months later purely because the team across the city are having all the success. It's a crazy.
Do you know what I mean though, Roger? Like, does Russell Martin not get the results because he doesn't get it? Or does that accusation only come out once you've not got the results in the first place?
I do think he underestimated the size of the challenge and thought his football philosophy and the players he signed
would just carry him through
and it would just click, and he completely underestimated the whole thing. You cannot come into Rangers and leave them 8th in the league, having won 1 of 7 league games and 5 of 17 overall.
And I'll tell you what, if anyone even thought about doubting his commitment to the bit and his commitment to doing thing his way.
I know
what's coming here.
He goes for a dip in Loch Lomond yesterday, and it's the front page of the Daily Record. Yeah. I honestly thought it was amazing, because why not? You're done. Everybody's been slaughtering you. You've had a terrible time personally. Probably put in a personal situation that nobody would want to be in and was a bit unfair. And you think, what should I do in my day? Let's go back to Loch Lomond.
Well, I'd imagine every photographer in the country was halfway up Connick Hill today, just in case he went there as well.
So, Ben, do you think this other bit you know, this bit about sort of standards then and aura, I think you called it. You think that's really what Rangers need at the moment? You think Gerrard's the top man for that?
I think we've got more than enough quality in the starting 11 and in the squad to be able to put in performances against against the likes of Falkirk and stuff like that. But we just need the mentality to be pushed into these players, because there's a lot of players that come to Rangers and think it's a stepping stone, but really there should be players that are just coming to win games. So I think Gerrard coming put that in the place that it is kind of the be all or end all to play for Rangers, and you need to go out and give 100% every week.
I was a bit torn on that as well, Roger. I think as long as that's harnessed in the right way, I mean,
the stepping stone thing, I think it's a good thing.
Look, it's Celtic, right? And yeah. It's an age old example, but get players who are talented and good and want to showcase that talent and have that talent
100%.
See them move on. You win things along the way.
Of course you do.
You don't need me to rhyme them off, but in the last couple of seasons, you're Nicholas Coon and Matt O'Reilly. Yep. That can be a good thing.
Sign them for 2 or 3 million, get the best out of them, sell them for 8 or 10 million. That's what Rangers and Celtic should be doing. Celtic have done it far better than Rangers over the years. Going back to the Virgil van Dijk's, Odson Edwards of this world, they've done it really well. Nicholas Coon been the most recent example. They did it with Jota and then got him back. They did, you know, sold Kieran Tierney and got him back. Celtic have done it really well. It's one of the, you know, the faults of Rangers. Rangers should be doing that. The most saleable guy just now, Nico Raskin.
Yeah, I wonder what he's thinking.
Yeah, be fascinated to see what he's thinking about the next manager and what Steven Gerrard's thinking about him.
Ben, how much heat is on the new Rangers ownership group to get this appointment right? Because the boards always are, and we always say that this is such an important appointment, but just given that they're only in the door and it promised so much and hopes were high, and then it was Russell Martin and we know how it ended, how much pressure do you think is actually on those that are making the decision this time?
I think there's a lot of pressure. I think most of the pressure is, but I don't know how much Kevin Thirlwell and Scott have got are involved in this in this appointment with the new manager. I presume it's probably not that much. So I think they've got a bit of leeway after Martin, because it was a bit of a grace period. But if this second one doesn't go too well, I think you'll see quite a lot of fans turning on the Americans rather than Kevin Thirlwell.
Well, I mean, all of the above, Roger, really, because I mentioned, you know, about the sort of hope and expectation that came in the summer. Maybe it was too much. I don't know. It's up to every individual Rangers fan. And this is where I'd love to get inside the heads of the decision makers, because you wonder where your sort of professional judgment meets human nature, because ultimately they'll pick the guy who's best for the job, right? Or who they think is best for the job. But just imagine a scenario where you, in your heart of hearts, think the best guy for the job isn't Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
But you know everybody wants him, and you know that it's easier to just appoint him.
It's going to be interesting, because I don't want you to take this the wrong way when I say, or use the phrase, don't know what they're doing, because that's usually a derogatory phrase. But when Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marat and Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thirlwell appointed Russell Martin, they didn't know what they were doing, simply because they had no idea. They didn't know the size of the task. They don't know how strong Celtic are, how strong Hearts are going to be this season. They don't know what a manager needs to do to win at Falkirk and to get full points at Livingston.
They always say that they do. They always arrive and say they do.
I'll tell you something. Between June and October, I bet they've learned an awful lot about decision-making and about what's necessary for Rangers to succeed on the field.
Thank you very much to Ben. Speaking of men under severe pressure to deliver, let's play this.
I was looking directly down the camera. You were looking at me on the screen there.
Do you like that? That was an easy transition. An open goal, they call that. Simon Donnelly could not be more bottom of the Beat the Pundit table if he tried. People still stopping you out in the street and stuff.
Not so much. No,
I've hit a couple of weeks. That's why. He keeps ignoring our calls. He won't come on anymore.
Anyway. Simon, I heard producer John, I'm going to go at you off air as well. You bring other qualities to this show.
Listen,
you bring coaching expertise.
Rightly or wrongly, I hadn't given Beat the Pundit much thought until John, the producer, reminded me of my terrible record at the moment.
Well, there we go. Listen, he's there to be got at, as Simon Donnelly. Roger Hannah starts on -1. So a good opportunity tonight. 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7. Let's hear from you. 0141 951
1-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly. Simon Donnelly is kind of like, he's got a record that is a bit like Russell Martin's there. So you've 5 games, no wins so far.
I'm feeling the pressure.
Roger Hanna, your record actually on Beat the Pundit is a bit like, it kind of shows your greatness, but shows that we were right to handicap you, because you have lost, but you've had 2 tens as well. So
2 tens?
I was kicking myself. It should have been 3 last Wednesday night. You got the last quite the 10th question. Which team beat Alec Ferguson's Aberdeen most often?
In the league?
In his time at Aberdeen.
I would say...
over the 3 competitions.
Celtic.
That was my guess. Dundee United.
Of course, Dundee United.
Let's see what tonight brings. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Loads of time to get your calls in, lots coming through on Steven Gerrard, but still other names being suggested ahead of him, which I'm interested in, because I thought it would be more one-way traffic tonight, and I live to be put right, so keep them coming. Anything else that's out there this time tomorrow, the nerves will be kicking in. It is a massive World Cup qualifier for Scotland. What a situation Steve Clarke would find themselves in if he could win that game and move on to 7 points after 3 games in the group. So get your pre-Greece thoughts over to us, please, whilst we bring in Luke from Paisley. Hi, Luke.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Now, I would say about nine days out of 10, we have a debutant on Beat the Pundit, but you've played before, haven't you?
Yes.
And did you win?
Yeah, I beat Cammy Bell.
Oh, that's not saying much, for goodness sake. I don't know about telling people that.
I don't know what to say that.
Oh my goodness. And that was back in the days, of course, when you got given the sign ball, like it or lump it, but of course, you could complete a collection with the collector's item coin tonight if you win, couldn't you?
Yeah.
However, you're a Celtic man, Luke.
Yeah.
Would you not feel bad about kicking poor Simon Donnelly when he's down? He's not got a win yet. Everybody's ridiculing him.
Yeah, I'll maybe give him a sympathy vote and try and get a couple wrong.
Take it easy on him.
Thanks, Luke.
I'm worried for you. I was excited.
Listen, you've not even flipped the coin yet.
I know, but I'm going to fix it. Nah, I can't. I couldn't. The new coin. This is the coin of truth. So if it is the blue side,
is that why Gordon Dell's not got one?
Nah, exactly. It's the blue side for you, Simon Donnelly.
I'm going blue tonight.
Yeah, it's because of the seat that you're in, and the red side for Roger.
Scotland
Hanna.
Week. You go. All
right, Scotland blue. Yeah.
Oh, he's off the hook. No,
oh, no.
The relief.
Come on, we should have tried to get him in the seat. So you're gonna listen. You think it's all good? Bringing down Cammy Bell, you're going to have to topple Roger Hanna now. Look, he does start on -1 though, so I'll give Roger something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Top man, your time starts now. Which club did Steven Gerrard join after leaving Rangers?
Aston Villa.
Which Celtic manager signed Robbie Keane?
Tony Mowbray.
Which pop star stayed in the same hotel as the Scotland team this week?
Bass.
How many SPFL teams play in Edinburgh?
Three.
Max Johnson started his career at which team?
Motherwell.
Which company sponsored the Scottish Cup from 89 to 2007?
Tennants.
Name any championship team that traditionally play in black and white.
Inferland.
Okay, Roger Hanna, are you ready?
Yes.
You two are bopping along.
Bit
like
of
two.
Habba. There's a bit of habba, yeah. There.
Shown your age. Do you know what, actually, I reckon, see if someone just
failed to tap you,
studied your body language there, I think they'd have been able to tell it was ABBA. Just that, you know, look. It was like, you know, when the buffet's just finished at a party and yep. ABBA goes, that was what you two did there. That sort of look, that like
I've my film. My wife and daughter were at an ABBA Voyage show on Sunday night, so it's been a week of ABBA.
Which ABBA tune was it?
Take a chance on me.
Oh, not the worst. Right, let's go, Roger Hanna. 30 seconds on the clock. You do start on -1. Your time starts now. Which club did Steven Gerrard join after leaving Rangers?
Aston Villa.
Which Celtic manager signed Robbie Keane?
Tony Mowbray.
Which pop star stayed in the same hotel as the Scotland team
this week?
Katy
Perry.
How many SPFL teams play in Edinburgh?
4.
Max Johnson started his career at which team?
Motherwell.
Which company sponsored the Scottish Cup from 1989 to 2007?
Tennants.
Name any championship side that traditionally play in black and white.
United.
Well, you would go for them, wouldn't you? I'm biting on. What are you thinking, Luke?
Beat me. What, I think Katy Perry's killed me.
He does start on minus one, though.
Right enough.
Was it Katy Perry?
I don't even know if it was, to be fair, but
there was,
because Bieber was up here as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was staying at Glen Eagles.
No.
See, well, maybe he dotted around the 5-star hotels, but I think I definitely saw him at Glen Eagles. Roger knows that stuff. He's a big Katy Perry fan. Him, look at him, written all over him.
Our chief football writer at the Scottish Sun, Robert Grieve, was appalled today when I asked him to go to Hampden and asked Steve Clark about staying in the same hotel as Katy Perry.
Is that your idea?
Yes.
And Steve Clark, in true Steve Clark fashion, didn't break a smile and said, I don't know who Katy Perry is.
Yeah. So, to be fair, he also said, and she won't know who I am.
Well, I think that's a given, to be fair, as well. Right, okay, let's go through them. Which club did Steven Gerrard join after leaving Rangers? A nice easy one to get you all going. Aston Villa. So you both got it right. Roger stays one behind on his minus one. Robbie Keane was signed by Tony Mowbray, and you both got it right. Katy Perry, spoiler, stayed at the Blythewoods this week.
Yeah.
Alongside the Scotland team, which means Roger is level. I'll come back to the next one. Max Johnson started his career at which side? It's Motherwell. You both got it, which means you're still level. Tennent's sponsored the Scottish Cup 89 to 2007, so you're still level. Ooh. And Ayr, Dunfermline, Queen's Park play in black and white. Luke got it, Roger got it, so you're still level. Until how many SPFL teams play in Edinburgh? Hearts and Hibs, obviously. Edinburgh City, Luke, you said three. And the Spartans. He's done you. He's done you with the Spartans. Look, honestly, I thought we had you. See, if I'm being honest, I forgot that you got that one right and he didn't. In my head, we were going to a tiebreaker. I'm absolutely devastated. It was only when I was going back.
Oh, look, that was it. Good.
Yeah, looked at well there.
No. But I like a victory. And what's worse is he's on course for a 10. Hang on the line, Luke, because I'm not done with you yet, but you're on course for your third 10. Here's a deal for you, right?
Okay.
If you get your third 10 by October,
yeah,
you can have the coin.
Yeah.
Right?
You heard that, Sid.
Yep.
Cue the tense music. Let's see if we can get this guy a 10. Who's the current manager of Dumbarton?
Stevie Farrell.
True or false? Paul Le Guin had a worse win percentage as Rangers manager than Russell Martin.
That's false.
Who was the last Greek to play for Celtic?
Georgios Giorgakis.
Has he got it?
Yeah. There you go. I will present you with your. I feel like I've ever.
I'm sorry. I cannot tell you. Last time I was this excited.
I've stood up live on this YouTube stream before. There we go. Congratulations, Roger Hanna. The Beat the Pundit coin is yours. Pride of place on the Hanna mantelpiece.
Oh.
Three tens by October is outstanding.
Different class.
Do you know what we need to do, actually, right? We need to start doing, and I'm on to the producers of Bowie at Breakfast. I think what they do is they just always throw in a rogue, really impossibly difficult question.
Right at the end.
To throw somebody off. So I'm going to start doing that for you. I'm going to always make number 10 impossible.
Can I break this case to get it out?
Does it not open?
I've no idea.
I'm sure it does. Anyway, look, you're a Celtic fan. What, although there's a lot going on the other side of the city at the moment, what's in your mind as a Celtic fan?
Yeah, I was delighted, obviously, that we managed to find a winner on Sunday, but not playing very well at all. It's a pretty grim watch at times.
Roger asked it earlier, and there's no point shying away from it. Everything revolves around the rivalry here. That's kind of the way it works. If Steven Gerrard comes back to Rangers, do you see him as the guy that was good enough that he stopped your team getting 10, or do you scoff at all the other trophies he didn't get and not worry so much about him coming back?
Definitely the latter. I think it kind of gets forgotten about that how poor his record was in terms of winning trophies, because he did win obviously the COVID title. Albeit it was disappointing not to win 10 in a row, but for him not to win any cups and only win that one title, I think that's kind of getting forgotten about a wee bit.
Without going over history too much, Roger, I actually think the one title is understandable, right? If you go back, I don't mean to be disrespectful to any of the guys that I'm about to mention. In fact, I'll do it to the one that's obviously on this show. If you look at where Rangers were before Steven Gerrard took over, you remember that game, that 5-5 at Hibs? That was the last game
yeah,
before he took over. Rangers team was Jack Anik in goal. Tavernier was there.
I know the left back.
David Bates, Russell Martin. Russell, remember Russell him? Martin. Russell Martin. Andy Halliday, Jordan Rossiter, Daniel Candeas, Jason Holt, Sean Goss, Jamie Murphy,
Jason Cummings.
I wouldn't dream of being unfair to these guys, but to take that squad and either use those players or sign other ones as they did and win the title the next season, I'd say impossible, pretty much. Not impossible, but highly unlikely.
Yeah, I spoke.
I think winning one league title out of three is not necessarily that bad, but should he have done better in cups? Is it Steven Gerrard's cup record that would be held against him?
The next manager, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, won one cup. Michael Beale won no cups. Philip Clement won one cup. Russell Martin won no cups. So, all these things are relative. I think at the time, given that he won a league and given the progress that he made in Europe, it's probably a surprise that he didn't do better in the cup competitions. So that'll be another thing Rangers fans will look on him to improve. You wonder, he came in, 2018?
Yeah,
he came in.
Summer of 18.
You know, you go from May 2018 to October 2025, it's an awful lot of water under the bridge. An awful lot has changed. You know, Dave King was the chairman. Andrew Cavan is now the chairman. It was a completely different squad back then to there is now. I would imagine the 49ers have a bit more financial muscle if they want to direct it, you know, to the next manager to spend. Celtic are a different team now than they were then. Is this going to be Brendan's, Randy Rogers' last season at Celtic? Are Celtic going to be looking for a new manager next summer? What happens with, you know, Celtic's players? What's happening with Hearts? Tony Bloom looks as if he's putting money in. So the Scottish football landscape in October 2025 is completely different to what it was when Steven Gerrard walked into Ibrox 7.5 years ago. And it will be fascinating to see if he takes the job, if he's offered the job. It'll be fascinating to see how he gets on and whether not just a cup competition, the next manager's got an Old Firm Cup semi-final coming up.
Semi-final, that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
3 weeks' time.
The next guy comes in, it's a hell of an opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. Could he get Rangers back into a league fight, you know, this season? Hearts are about to play Celtic, something's going to give.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is an opportunity for whoever comes in. Rangers have started the season poorly, but he walks into a semi-final against their biggest rivals. I mean, that if you win that, you're off to a flyer.
Yeah. So look, the win at the weekend for you against Motherwell, still worrying because of the style and the way the football is at the moment, would that be fair?
Yeah, we didn't play particularly well at all. The third goal was a good move, and like I said, I was delighted, but in terms of and it was a penalty, and then the second goal was a gift, really. Apart from that, I don't really remember us looking like scoring very often. It's not been great. I actually thought the start against Braga was good. We're playing quick. It was moving it forward quickly. It was really good. And then we conceded that goal.
I thought the week before, Luke, as well, the start against Hibs, I thought was quite good as well. But they just...
We said this at the time, right?
They couldn't score.
The reaction to the Hibs game was bizarre because I get, obviously, if draws is a disaster and all that stuff, as Hugh always says. Hibs might be Celtic's best league performance of the season.
I thought they were really good.
Genuinely might
be. First half, in particular, I thought I enjoyed watching them. Iheanacho hits the bar, and another day that goes in, Celtic maybe go into a comfortable win. It's drop points at home, it's always going to get criticised, but I thought they were actually okay in the first half.
I always think, Roger, the notion, someone said it to me today as well, about, you know, Celtic scoring late, sign of champions, you know, you hear that phrase a lot. I always think, though, that you winning when you're not at your best, it can only be sometimes. I think if you're doing that loads, it's probably a worrying sign. So, we've not played a lot yet. Celtic have already had their Kilmarnock last-minute penalty day. They've now had the Motherwell one. For fans like Luke, clearly, if you do that too often, it's not, oh, this is what champions do. Why are we not getting over the line?
Listen, I'm sure said like earlier, we're talking about, you know, the opportunities that are there for the next Rangers manager, what have you. I think the next 3 weeks are really big in Celtic's season as well, because Hearts at Tynecastle in the league...
Yep.
You don't really want to. I don't think anybody wants to lose any more ground to Hearts.
Yep.
A European home game against Sturm Graz that really Celtic probably need to win.
Yeah, they have to win it.
and then a cup semi-final against Rangers.
Big games.
Big games in three different competitions that could really go a long way to seeing where Celtic's season's going to go.
Let's thank Luke and Paisley, who was quite good on Beat the Pundit, actually, but just ran into Roger Hannah, a man in form. Let's bring in Kieran in Bayliston. How are you, Kieran?
Hi, Gordon, how are you doing? How are you doing, Simon and Roger?
Hi, Kieran.
Roger, I was kind of glad you went on Monday, because the fact you're on now means that I can direct my question point to you, if that's all right.
Well, fine away, yeah.
So, just before I kind of got on a question, I just want to double check. So, your article in The Sun where you talked about Sosa and the club had said that Rodgers was Pat Townie's exit, high figures were a kind of disagreement with him and whatsoever. Just before I get my point, do you stand by that article?
Yes.
Okay. So, you will also see that the Celtic Fans Collective, other sources, and then Celtic, very briefly, if may add, had released some sort of statement regarding, before the minutes have came out, about the meeting on Monday. From the Celtic fans' side, what I've seen is people saying that there was a sort of lack of investigation into what had been said in the press. Some people actually quoting as saying that the board pretty much asked each other, was it you, was it you? That was it, no need for investigation. Celtic have came out and said that it was unsubstantiated, there was no reason for to carry on the investigation. So I think the kind of point question I would put is, are they potentially trying to say that Brendan Rodgers has relied on your article to put a point forward in the media to maybe have another go at them? Is the board maybe trying to deflect from somebody within the club speaking to the media about what they feel of Brendan Rodgers? Because at this point, they've almost pretty much said that the manager has came out in the media and addressed your article and almost said that there's no evidence to substantiate it.
Kieran, just ask him who his source was and see if he'll tell us.
Well, I won't. I know the point you're trying to make, Kieran. I mean, I don't know. Since the article came out, I think the article came out September the 5th or 6th, I believe, you know, Brendan spoke afterwards, and then I believe the following week he was asked a supplementary question to it, and he said it's done or it's closed or something like that.
I missed that, did he?
Yeah.
So after the cowardly stuff?
The following Friday, he was asked a question at his press conference. Okay. He said the matter was closed or done, I think was the word they used. Now, I've only seen the statement that the Celtic Collective put out yesterday with regard to the meeting on Monday with some of the directors. And the Celtic Collective said that when Michael Nicholson, the chief exec, was asked about it on Monday, he also said that the matter was done. I think he used the same word as Brendan. So, you know, I write a story at the start of September. We're now at the end of October.
Start of October.
It's more than a month, about 5 weeks ago or something, Gordon. I'm assuming, and I stand to be corrected here, Gordon, because I'm only looking at it from the outside, I'm assuming that internal conversations have taken place at Celtic between then and now, and what was viewed as an issue then is now no longer an issue.
Yeah, but you can understand why Kieran, looking at it, obviously I'm joking. Like, it's the whole point of journalism. You're not going to tell us who it was, and that's fine, I wouldn't expect you to. But if you stand by that story, and I'm sure, I knew you would, you can understand why fans like Kieran are thinking, well, how can it be done so easily? So if you're standing by somebody you spoke to said these things or alleged these things about Brendan Rodgers, and the club say, nah, it's fine, that's it.
No.
Can I come back in that, Gordon? Sorry, just to add on. First of all, I would say, honestly, no, actually, 100% I believe and agree Rodgers' story. I think there is people within the club that have got such a disagreement and such a disdain for the way Rodgers goes about his business in the press in terms of course constantly questioning, first of all, to improve the club, that any way they can potentially try and undermine him, they'll do. And to add on to Rodgers' point is made towards the end there, the words that were obviously used was closed. People that were within that meeting who obviously were what to name unnamed and whatever else, they've said that they've actually had to say there was a lack of investigation in terms of not a single investigation was had. It was simply just asking each other, was it you? Was it you? It was like a kind of schoolyard thing, asking, was it you? So it's almost pretty much as if they're saying, well, our manager's came out in the press, he's addressed this article where apparently we are, as the board here, are saying that he is undermining us, and they don't see a need to investigate it. Is that either because they genuinely are worried about what may come out? I don't know what way they're trying to, whatever way the board try to spin this from that meeting, it's not gone down well in any way, shape or form here.
I mean, all I could, at the risk of repeating myself, I mean, when we did that story, that would be 5 weeks ago or so. In my mind, you know, I get the feeling that if there were those tensions at the time or questions being asked at the time, I get the impression, and I'm only going in the answers that have been given by both Brendan Rodgers and Michael Nicholson, that perhaps there have been internal conversations since then and issues have been resolved and doubts have been sort of satisfied, if you like, and what was a situation then is no longer a situation, if you see what I mean, Gordon.
Would Brendan Rodgers call you up when that story comes out and ask you about it?
No.
Anyone dispute it?
Since the story's...
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, thank you, Kieran. It's a question worth asking. He thought he'd get away with it. He's been off for the last couple of Mondays, but I'm glad you put him on the spot. 01419511025, and we'll be back with plenty more next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Roger Hanna are here taking your calls, so keep them coming, please, on 01419511025. That is the number that you need. It's time before we bring in Derek.
I'm sorry. Hugh Keevens is querying the award of my coin.
Oh?
He said it's unacceptable to take a 10 out of 10 on a Katy Perry answer.
That's true. I thought when you turned to your phone there and read it out, it was your source getting back to you.
No.
After the previous call, he got me excited. Got a good full-time teaser for you, though. And I'm going to make producer John's night here. I don't do that lightly. I don't like to bring him much joy, if I can help it. But such is the cultural footprint, shall we say, that gets left by the full-time teaser. Today, I was getting message after message, voice note after voice note from a high-profile Falkirk, let's call him an experienced midfielder in the Falkirk ranks, to say, can you send me the questions? We're all in the gym and we need questions. Send me them. Send them over. And he was firing answers back and forward, and there was a couple he couldn't get. And at one point I had to say, listen, I'm going into the sauna for the next 15 minutes, so you'll need to wait. And straight away, no, please cancel that. We need to know the answers. They were taking it so seriously. I then got pictures sent. They had written all the answers on a whiteboard in the gym and were scoring them out as they went. And I would say, no, you'll need to take out number six, and they would swap them back in. So this is how seriously people take the full-time teaser. Don't think it's just a bit of fun.
And Rangers couldn't beat these people on Sunday.
Don't take this as a bit of fun. This is serious business. And I love the theme from The Sensible Donkey. He says,
oh, what's a donkey?
Celebrity Traitors starts tonight.
Oh, does it?
It's a great line, that. And it does indeed.
Does it?
That's your viewing softy,
it is,
doesn't
I.
it? Who's on it again? It's quite a cast. Did I see Jonathan Ross?
Is it Katy Perry?
It's not.
No.
Tom Daly?
Hugh Keevans?
Who else was on it?
Hugh Keevans.
I saw the big picture earlier as well. There was loads of
There's
them.
There's loads of them there.
I didn't recognise.
I might hold off and then...
Binge it. Anyway.
This is going to cause me a
Stephen
problem.
Stephen Fry? He'll be good, surely.
I had big ambitions. I'm behind in Bake Off.
Oh, I watched it last night.
Don't you dare.
Pastry Week.
Don't go there. I was hoping to watch that, but Mrs. Hanna will now demand to watch Celebrity. Don't you dare.
I actually missed Who Goes Out because baby woke up and all that stuff. Anyway, I digress. Right.
Where is this gone?
She knows who went out because she just stayed and watched it till the end. So, Celebrity Traitor starts tonight. Uh-huh. So, naturally, can you name seven men currently playing in Scotland who've made appearances for both Dundee clubs?
Murray.
There are seven players currently playing in Scotland who've made appearances for both Dundee clubs. They can be playing anywhere in Scotland. Simon Murray, yes.
Scott Fraser.
Yes, he's now at Ross County. One more guess, preferably from you, Simon, because he probably knows them already.
Got them. Dundee United.
Okay, I can give you some thinking time. You can throw one in.
Trevor Carlson.
Yes, who's now at
Ross County with Scott Fraser.
On loan from
Dundee.
Previously of Dundee United. Okay, thanks to The Sensible Donkey for sending that question in. I'm sure somebody messaged me over the weekend to say that they met either The Sensible Donkey or The Crazy Pony. I get my novelty full-time teaser contributors mixed up.
See when he comes back next season as a zany zebra.
And there was a bit of, apparently, like, there's a bit of rivalry. There is a rivalry.
It's not one person
out there. No. the sensible donkey was formed to rival the crazy pony.
I just presumed it was the same
person. No.
Are you sure? Have you met these creatures?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
You reckon somebody's met the donkey?
One of them, I don't know. I wish they hadn't started this story. They're having a charity boxing match, I think. That's what it was.
You can't have a donkey fighting a pony.
Ah, you can.
That's ridiculous. RSPCA will be writing all over you.
Derek is in Edinburgh. How are you, Derek?
Hi, hi there. I'm not too bad. There's enough donkeys on the pitch at Ibrox.
Yes, Derek. You can come back.
Well done.
Sorry about that. Yeah, my point, obviously, we're talking a lot about the Rangers manager. I've got a point on that as well. But I've got a great concern with Rangers. And it's something that I've seen to other people that I've worked beside and guys that I know. My concern is actually about the recruitment side of Rangers, and particularly the defence at the moment. Now, Roger will probably know this better than me, but I don't think any of that Rangers back four's going to be there next season.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in a strange situation because I think both Tavernier and Suter are coming to the end of their contracts. Dejiga's on loan from Wolves. Magoma's on loan from Brentford. Cornelius is on loan from Marseille. So the sort of five regulars. Max Ahrens is on loan from Bournemouth. So the six regulars.
Emmanuel Fernandez, anybody? Well, remember him?
Yeah, I think he's with Clinton Insiala somewhere.
Posting on Instagram their joy at Russell Martin leaving. Do you see that?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
That's the way it's been taken, I think, in Seattle, maybe.
But listen, it's a valid point you make. You're not the first to make it. You know, whoever the Rangers manager is going forward is going to have to look, in my opinion, to use fewer loan players going forward and to try and get players into the football club who are going to sign 2-3-4 year contracts. And he's going to be able to build something moving forward, because at any football club, whether you're at Rangers or Celtic or Cowdenbeath, I don't think it makes any sense to have your entire back four and first two, you know, sort of stand-in defenders, if you like, all out of contract at the same time.
So, Derek, wider concerns then about the recruitment that you think are sort of not more important than the manager, but certainly limiting for whoever it is?
I think it's worrying. I mean, we've spent a lot of money, a real lot of money. We've signed a striker who doesn't particularly score a lot of goals or have a great scoring record for a fee beyond belief, to be honest with you. And the recruitment just worries me. And I've heard the rumours about Steven Gerrard possibly coming back, and that he wants to be manager, not head coach. He basically wants to have control of player recruitment in and out. That's a good thing. That's kind of old school. That's where I was kind of brought up in over the years. But it's a worry overall, because there doesn't seem to be any plan long-term, short-term. You summed it up earlier, guys, great, about Celtic's recruitment. That's what Rangers should be doing, is bringing in players, looking to move them on for big money. Do that process. It's just never worked at Ibrox so far.
It's a very interesting point, actually, Derek makes, because I hear the accusation, maybe you can get too hung up on job titles, but Russell Martin was, quite tellingly, a head coach. Mm. And it wasn't random. It wasn't some thing that Rangers decided to throw out there in a whim. A new ownership group came in the summer. It was a massive summer for Rangers. The club is now owned by different people. They put a sporting director in place. They put various other structures in place, all amounting to the guy who leads the football team being in charge of the coaching. That's the point. It's how pretty much most big football clubs work. Now, significantly, Celtic doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe why we're having this debate around Celtic and their structure at the moment. But it was very deliberate. Do you then rip all that up because Russell Martin had a bad 3 months?
Listen, I think if they go down the route of Stevie Gerrard, it sounds that way. Because, I mean, you spoke earlier on in the show about Andy Halliday, the insight there, with Michael Beale being the coach and taking a lot of the coaching. It sounds as if Stevie Gerrard wants to be, as Derek says, the manager, the guy who overlooks it, the guy who overlooks the recruitment, comes in, sets his team up, but on the coaching field, it doesn't seem to be his role. Mm.
To be fair though, Roger, I mean, it is modern football. Like, Steven Gerrard was at Aston Villa a couple of years ago. The managers don't open their black book and get their phones out and sign players that way necessarily anymore. Do you think there is a structural solution though that needs to be found if it is Steven Gerrard?
If the board think that Steven Gerrard is the priority candidate, if they want to give Steven Gerrard the job, then, and Steven Gerrard says, that wee plaque in my door needs to say manager, then they really do have a decision to make. You know, if they want to make a manager, they want to make a manager. I don't think it would take away anything that Kevin Thelwell does, or Dan Purdy, or Robbie Thelwell, or anybody else there. They would still do their jobs. But a bit like you said, a bit like at Celtic, where Celtic have a recruitment department, Paul Tisdale, etc., etc. But Brendan has the last word on signings. If Brendan doesn't want the signings in, the signings won't be coming in.
He sometimes acts like he doesn't, though.
Yeah, well, listen, you know what I mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, that level of signing, you're talking maybe about the Enamura level of signing. That's slightly different. First team players, the big money players, the players, the, you know, the big ticket players, if you like, Brendan Rodgers has the final say on. I think that would still be the case under Steven Gerrard. I don't think he would want to, you know, there was a one through the summer, and you know, Russell Martin basically said, the club have said you need to ask, you know, Kevin or whatever. But I don't think Steven Gerrard, he'll have players he wants.
I'm not pretending to be an expert on this, so someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the problem we've got when we assess a director of football role, a sporting director role, we really only look at it through the lens of recruitment. When it is actually much more than that. I get that it's exciting. It's the bit that gets the headlines, but it is much more than that. Is there not also a distinction in that a manager, a kind of all powerful manager, as it used to be, if they want to walk in and say, I want my medical department to look like this, it happens. I want the sports science department to look like this. Yeah. I want the strength and conditioning department. Whereas actually, that's not what Rangers structure is. Those are Kevin Thelwell's decisions.
Yeah.
So there is still a distinction there, even if you think that recruitment can be overcome.
I agree with you, but, you know, we get to a situation, I mentioned him earlier in the show, Lauren Shankland, 7 goals in 10 games. People get got him for nothing in the summer. Nobody took him and he stayed at Hearts. I don't think, you know, if Russell Martin had said, well, I quite like that guy Shankland, I'm not sure that would have been enough for Shankland to be delivered. If Steven Gerrard comes in and says, we're taking that guy Shankland, that would have been enough. I think
we're still,
you know,
still doing it though. I know it's the boring stuff, but that's only because we're thinking about recruitment. There are other bits of a modern club structure that are supposed to be managed, are supposed to be directed by the sporting director, by the football director of football.
And Al Etifak, I think Stephen will appreciate that now. You know, his first venture into management was with Rangers 7.5 years ago, when Rangers didn't really have a structure like that in place. I think he'll appreciate, having had another couple of jobs, that structure does work for clubs and should work for clubs. And there are areas there that we'll be perfectly happy to defer to the sporting director and defer to the head of recruitment and defer to, I'm trying to think what Dan Purdy's position is now.
Technical
director, perhaps. That's correct.
No, listen, you're right, because we actually, see if you look over the other side of the M8, people were saying this in the summer, oh, hold on a minute, Derek McInnes is usually his own man and he decides everything, and now he's getting into this Jamestown Tony Bloom machine. Doesn't look like he cares. Doesn't look like he's got too many issues with it.
But equally, Stuart Finlay didn't come out of the Jamestown analytics machine. I think there's a kind of mix and match there.
Yeah, but you can also, I think, kind of reverse engineer that stuff, where you identify him, but then you see how he pops up in the analytics. Derek, sorry, that was quite a long answer and argument. I think that's a sign that you've raised a pretty good point. Does this mean that Steven Gerrard doesn't necessarily float your boat the way he does for other fans? Or am I reading you wrong?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Steven Gerrard coming back. I do understand the aura that he has. Completely understand that. But I actually agreed with a point that Roger said earlier. I think we're too sort of snobbish in the way we look at Scottish football and the people that are actually on our doorstep. Shankland was a great example. McInnes was an example. The guy that's really impressed me, and I know he's just recently signed a new contract, is Stephen Robertson at St Mirren. I think he's tactically astute, can organise a defence, has got the idea going forward, plays 2 attackers now and again. And I just think he's very underrated. And Rangers over many years have recruited from Scotland. It seemed to stop recently. I just think he ticks a lot of boxes. But I agree again, McInnes would be the first choice for me, not Gerrard. But I think Stephen Robinson is a guy that could probably step up to the plate. And with a bit more backing, there's a chance opportunity there.
I like Stephen Robinson a lot. He had success with Gordon's team. Motherwell took him to a League Cup final, Scottish Cup final as well, Gordon?
Yes, same season.
Yeah. Established him in the top six. Got to St Mirren, back-to-back seasons in the top six, their best league placings in about 40 years. He's about to play Gordon's team in the Premier Sports Cup semi-final. A real opportunity there for St Mirren. I think he's an outstanding manager. You know, it's not that long ago, I remember going to the Smyzer, probably before it was called the Smyzer, and St Mirren were sort of dicing at the bottom half of the Championship. Now they're almost expected to finish in the top six, and that says, you know, the good work the club have done, which has been finished off in the last 3 or 4 years by Stephen Robinson. Hugely impressive character. But a bit like we said with Derek McInnes, I think the Rangers board are missing a trick by at least not investigating and trying and speaking to the man.
See, just on, Derek spoke about recruitment and you mentioned something, Robbie Thelwell, Kevin Thelwell's son.
Yes.
About this time last night, I suppose it's the beauty of live radio, we were speaking about it and I just said, I wonder if, you know, will it still go ahead? And if so, I think the point I was mostly getting at was, how do you announce it and when do you announce it? And would they consider either pausing it or withdrawing from it altogether? But it turns out, about 8:30 last night, people are saying he did start work yesterday.
Yeah, started work at the start of the week.
Will Rangers just not announce that then? Is that something that's just not worth announcing right now? It's not the big Rangers are pleased to confirm.
I think what we've criticised Rangers a lot this season for maybe not reading the room and been a wee bit tone deaf to things. I think if they'd made a big kerfuffle in their social medias about the appointment of the new head of recruitment, it would just have been asking for trouble. I think for the first time this season, they have actually read the room and just decided that Robbie Thelwell can start his job and we'll just keep it a wee bit hush-hush for now.
Okay, thank you very much to Derek, who makes some great points. What about this teaser? It's in honour, apparently, of the celebrity traitors. Can you name seven men currently playing in Scotland? Let me finish the question, you two. Like Gordon DL there. The seven men currently playing in Scotland who've made appearances for both Dundee clubs: Simon Murray, Scott Fraser, Trevor Carson.
What about Kevin Holt?
Correct. He's now at
United, obviously. Doing well. What about our own Scott Allen? Is he registered as a player with East Kilbride?
No.
No. I wonder about Scotty. It's a good one.
Okay, three to get. We'll get them when we return. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final parts, the home stretch on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to call if you so wish. We've got a good full time teaser on the go as well. So let me thank the sensible donkey and ask you out there to send us your questions in for us and for the Falkirk dressing room and other places. So we need your questions. Tonight is in honour of the celebrity traitors, which apparently starts tonight. According to the donkey, he says, can you name seven men currently playing in Scotland who've played for both Dundee clubs? Simon Murray is at Dundee and has indeed played for Dundee United. Kevin Holt, Scott Fraser, Trevor Carson. Three to get.
A man who sat with me in the seat where Simon Donnelly is now during the last Euros.
Oh yes.
Declan Gallagher.
I was looking at the other two thinking, you may be barking up the wrong tree. Can I be honest, one of these I would never ever get. I actually can't remember him playing for
Dundee
team.
It's not giving us much hope then, is it? You know you're struggling when you're struggling.
Blimey heck, that's a brilliant answer. Right, two to go. We'll get them before the end of the show. Scotland tomorrow, Roger.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, a World Cup qualifier at this stage of the campaign with 4 points already on the board deserves more than the last section of the show.
Yeah.
But we are where we are in Glasgow, so take it away.
A huge game. A huge game for Steve Clarke. In terms of history, he matches Craig Brown, 71 games in charge of the national team. But he will only be focusing on the big picture, which is to take Scotland to a World Cup for the first time in 28 years since Craig Brown was at the helm and Simon was in the squad. He's taken Scotland to two Euros. He has restored respectability on the international stage. He has re-engaged the Tartan Army with the Scotland team. He has helped develop the careers of outstanding footballers, McTominay, McGinn, Robertson, guys like that. And he's started to bleed in the next generation. Gannon Doak, Gilmer, Hickey, the guys who will go and look to take Scotland to the 2030 World Cup, if you like. So Scotland owe Steve Clarke a debt of gratitude. And if this is to be a swan song, let's see Steve Clarke go out in North America next summer, not go out at Hampden against Denmark next month?
Your positive case, Simon Donnelly, is Scotland beat Greece away not so long ago. They went and got a very good draw in Denmark. That Denmark side then went to Greece and won very convincingly.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Greece battered Scotland when they came to Hampden.
Don't remind me.
Last time out. What gives you more, what's got more relevance?
See, to be honest, I'm always quite positive with Scotland, but when the last couple of games came around, I did feel the worst because we hadn't really been at top form. But the boys were a credit to get the point in Denmark and then back that up with the win against Belarus. It's put us in a really good position at the start of, as I say, the shortest campaign you can imagine. These two are massive. Said at the start of the show, I feel we need to win them both. But I think Rodgers rhymed off the boys there. There's a lot of the boys have been at those Euros and that box of the World Cup has not been ticked yet. So I think they'll be up for it tomorrow. But I think they need to win both games.
How does Steve Clarke approach this? Because I think I'm right in saying Kieran Tierney wasn't in the last squad. Well, he was named in it initially and then he pulled out.
Yeah.
Is Kieran Tierney's place that he finds himself in at the moment, his fitness, his form, a combination of both, that the back three now isn't forced upon him anymore, even though Kieran Tierney's in the squad? Do you expect it to be a back four, and does Kieran Tierney sit on the bench?
I think that's exactly what happened. I think Aaron Hickey and Andy Robertson will be full back. It was Suter and Hanley in Copenhagen. It was Suter and McKenna in Hungary. I've a feeling he might go back to Suter and Hanley because they'll probably be required to defend more than they were away to Belarus. It's further forward, you know, the questions will be asked. Is there room for Ben Gannon Doak, or does he repeat what he did in Copenhagen and go Adams and Dykes?
And what do you think? Because that night will live with me. Scott Allen was here, and the negativity when Steve Clarke named his team for the Denmark game was good. Through the roof. And I remember thinking, he needs to get this right. It's the type of team selection that if it goes wrong, you know. But he did get it right.
Do you not think there's been at home and what, try and take the game to Greece, will there be a space for Gannon Doak?
I think that Steve Clarke will pay less attention to what happened in those two games last month than he will to the playoff against Greece back in March. I think that will have troubled him.
Doak was unavailable for that, wasn't he?
I think he'll have a real look and think, where did that go wrong? You know, why did we lose the goals? Why did we not trouble them at the other end?
I think that.
Am I right in saying Doak was unavailable that?
I think this could be a horses for courses.
Forgive me if
line up. It's at Hampden. It's must win. But that doesn't necessarily mean Gannon Doak has to start. You know,
Simon.
I would. I see the effect he's had on the international team when he's been fit and played Croatia. He worries defenders. Worries defenders, and that hopefully takes us further up the park where we've got boys there like McTominay and McGinn that can score. I think
it puts
a threat on their back line.
With that, does Billy Gilmore play?
That's another question.
Yes, for you. No, quickly, where are you going?
I'd
play him.
Okay, right, let's quickly round off the teaser. Seven men playing in Scotland who've played for both Dundee clubs: Simon Murray, Declan Gallagher, Kevin Holt, Scott Fraser, Trevor Carson.
Fraser Fivey?
No.
We are toiling here.
Is it Raith Rovers, one of them?
You know, someone's going through Raith Rovers. No, Aidan Connolly?
Nope. Going to say similar type player, maybe. Kind of small, sharp winger type.
Paul McMullen?
Paul McMullen, yes. And the last one is at Livingston.
Is this the one you can't even remember playing for either?
See, I've looked him up, by the way, a fair number of appearances. It just must be a gap in my memory. He's played for Dundee United, Hearts,
Robbie Muirhead.
St Johnston, and now Livingston. And he's from Australia.
Ryan McGowan.
Gowser.
Incredible.
No, I'm not. I can't remember that.
Maybe he was there with us, yeah.
But in Dundee. Do you remember Dundee? I know, but it's the Dundee I'm really struggling with.
Was that after?
Yeah. Anyway, right, back tomorrow. Huge night for Scotland. Thanks for your calls. Do it again all over again at 6:00.